Simon Kuf Ayin Ches in the Maaser Rav discusses the process of Bdikas Chametz that the Gra engaged in. Bdikas Chametz Bechorin Uvestakin, that the Gra would do Bdikas Chametz in all of the cracks and crevices, the Afal Pisha Bodek Bayom, and even if one searched during the day, Tzarech Livdok La'oraner, you have to search by candlelight, Afilu Bechol Teva, even in every single closet, and even in the books that one used during the meal. And the Bedikas Chametz took a very long time. And he would begin to search prior to the onset of nightfall. And he would stop in the middle of Bedikas Chametz to daven Ma'ariv. And he's not concerned. Okay, so there's a lot of different comments that are contained in this one os, or this one sif, in the Maaser Rav, and each one of them needs a little bit of time to explain it. So for starters, Bdikas Chametz Bechorin Uvestakin. Let's just go very quickly in terms of this. So where does Bdikas Chametz come from? It's the opening Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim. Daf Beis Amud Aleph says, Or L'Arba'asar Bodkenes HaChametz L'Or HaNer. So on the Or, which we translate to mean the night of the 15th, you have to do Bedikas Chametz by candlelight. Okay, so for starters, it's important to note that we use the term or to explain what nighttime means. We'll get into that. The Gemara has a lengthy discussion that he's supposed to speak in a nice way, and that's why we use the term or specifically to refer to night, and that is all obviously true. But the question is, why do we use the term or as opposed to Leil Arba Asar? From the outset, there's plenty of times where the Mishnah and the Gemara will use terms that mean nighttime. For nighttime, it doesn't always mean or, and it doesn't always say or, and therefore it's hard to know specifically here why they use that term. We'll get back to that. The Gemara gives two main reasons why we do Bedikas Chametz by day. Number one, we say people are found in their homes at night. That's the Gemara in Daf Daled Amud Aleph. And therefore, we want people to do it while they're home. If it was, you know, if we would say that they should do it the next morning, then people would push it off. They have other chores to do during the day. In those days, basically, people didn't do anything at night. And therefore, nighttime was the perfect opportunity. Second of all, they say, Or haner, yafal bdika, that it's candlelight is the best way to search. And therefore, they wanted the house to be dark, so that you could search by candlelight and therefore do the best type of searching. Now the Gemara has a limud which makes it seem like it's necessary to search l'or haner. They have some kind of, I don't know if it means that there's some kind of daraisa behind the whole idea, but nevertheless the Gemara has such a limud. But in the end, let's assume these are the two reasons why the Mishnah wanted them to do it the night before, because people are mitzuyin bevateim and because Orha Ner Yafal Abdika. And specifically, the Gemara says you're not supposed to use a torch, you're supposed to use a candle because the light will go in front of you and you won't be too scared to go into the Chorin Ustakin, and you'll check all the cracks and crevices where Chametz might be found. Again, people had very small houses, they didn't have a lot of food on hand the way we do, and therefore it was actually Shayach to possibly think that you were going to do all of your Bedikas Chametz the morning of Erev Pesach, or the night before Erev Pesach. We obviously have to prepare way in advance to make sure that everything is set up for the Bedikah, but there's still a Takanas Chacham to do Bedikas Chametz on Or Larva Asar. Now, question is, are you actually allowed to do Bedikas Chametz before the Zman? Are you allowed to do it before the time comes? So the Magid Mishnah in Ilchus Chametz Matzah Beis Dalid suggests that if you have the free time to check and the room is sufficiently dark, meaning let's say you have really good shades and it's very dark in the room, you can actually start searching before the Zman of the Bedikah. However, the Ran and Rabbi Yerucham disagree, and I would say Rov Rishonim disagree, and they say that that's not the Zman for the actual mitzvah. That the fact is that if the room is dark, that's very nice, but that's not as dark as it would be if it was mamish nighttime, and the candle will not be as effective. That's one discussion where you're starting at a time that everyone agrees is early. However, the Ravid in his Hasagos on the Balamor in that same first daf, the Aleph and Beis, and the Daf Be'arif, the Ravid suggests that the reason the Mishnah used the word or when it talked about or l'arba'asar is that it specifically wants you to start your bedikas chametz at a time where there is still some light in the sky, meaning not at Tzeisa Kochavim. Rather, you're supposed to start your bedikas chametz a little bit before Tzeisa Kochavim. Now, let's say it's after Shkia Sachama, for example, there is a decent amount of light in the sky, but you know it's starting to get dark. At that time, around whatever it would be, a half hour before Tzeis or whatever, where, you know, depending on where you live, that's when you're really supposed to start the bedika. And that's the shita of the Ravid. And the Ran suggests that the reason for this is that you'll get home, people didn't get home mamish at Tzeis, you'll get home a little bit before Tzeis, and the first thing you'll do is you'll start doing bedikas chametz at that time, and you won't forget, and because we know if you get home and first thing you do is eat dinner, and then you're going to start doing all kinds of other things, so there's a good chance you're going to forget to do bedikas chametz altogether, you'll fall asleep, especially in those days when you didn't stay up particularly late at night. So that's the shita of the Ravid. Now the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, Se'if Aleph, he writes that one's supposed to start searching for B'dikas chametz, a regional lashon Shulchan Aruch, b'tchilas leil yudalid b'nisan bodkinis chametz l'or aner b'choron v'stakin b'chol makomet shederach lahachnis sham chametz. So, at the beginning of the night of yudalid. So that's the real question: what does it mean, the beginning of the night? So the Magen Avram over there comments that maybe it means like the Ravid. Maybe it means that you're supposed to start doing it before Tzeisa Kochavim. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he's quoting not from the Magen Avram. He's quoting it from the Elia Rabbah and the Chok Yaakov and the Derech HaChaim and other Achronim. That's how he quotes in the Shaar HaTzion as the Maariv Makamos. He writes, Perish Tekef Achar Yetzias HaKochavim, meaning the beginning of the night means punct right after Tzeisa Kochavim, you're supposed to start doing Bedikas Chametz. But that's not the Magen Avram's understanding, and that's not the understanding of the Bi'ur HaGra. The Bi'ur HaGra, when he quotes in Sifkat and Aleph, the sources for the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that the Shulchan Aruch is holding like the Ravid, that you're supposed to start the Tchilas Leil Yudalad Nisan, not at Tzeisa Kochavim Namesh. You should do it when there is some light still in the sky, and you're supposed to start doing Bedikas Chametz a little bit earlier than Tzeisa Kochavim. And elsewhere in the Bi'ur HaGra, in Siman Taf Lamed Gimel, Sifkat and Chaf, the Bi'ur HaGra quotes a lengthy raya from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has two, when you get into what the Yerushalmi is actually talking about over there, but the Yerushalmi quotes one day from Rabbi Mana, who says, based on the pasuk, says, "Ushmartem es hayom hazeh," you should guard this day, that the entire 24-hour period of Erev Pesach should be guarded from chametz. And therefore, this indicates a raya to the Ravid, because by the time Erev Pesach begins, by the time the day, the 24-hour period begins with Tzeisa Kochavim, you should have already started guarding against chametz, and that's the interpretation of the Ravid. Okay, so in the end of the day, the Bi'ur HaGra Shita is, and this is what's being quoted in the Maaseh Rav, that you're supposed to start, this is the last little clause in this Siman Kuf Ayin Ches, where he writes that the Umascha Livdo Kodem Alayla, right? Masik Bamsa Betfilas Marav Enochosh. You're supposed to start before the night. So not going in the order of the Maaseh Rav, but going in the order of the time as when you would start being the first thing. So then we would hold like this. Okay. Now, what else are you not allowed to do prior to Bedikas Chametz? So there's a discussion. Are you allowed to learn Torah before Bedikas Chametz or not? So, we're not going to get involved with that because the Maaseh Rav does not specifically deal with this. Just one point, the Magen Avram quotes from the Magen Avram quotes that it's actually mutter to have a short halacha shir right after you daven marav. Now we'll get to whether or not you're supposed to daven marav, but in terms of if you're in shul and like there's a quick halacha shir right after marav, then Magen Avram says that that's not a problem. of doing something before Bedikas Chametz, because you're not going to, you know, the 2 minute, 5-10 minute halacha shir is not going to make you not want to go home and do Bedikas Chametz right away. But the, and he says that this only applies to halacha shir. It doesn't apply to any kind of lumdus or pilpul or anything like that, which is going to get you arguing in halacha. Has to be very straightforward halacha psuka kitzur shulchan aruch type situation, because otherwise it's a little bit dangerous that you're going to come to argue and stick around, and then you, maybe you'll exhaust yourself in learning, and you're going to get tired, and you're going to go home and go to sleep. And so, why am I reading this up at all? Because it happens to be, it's not in the Maaserav, but in the Gra Haggadah. The Gra Haggadah was written by his Talmud, Rav Menachem Mendel Mishklov. So in the Gra's Haggadah, he writes that the Gra did not hold like this Magen Avraham. He would stop learning immediately under all circumstances and start the Bedika before Tzeis HaKochavim, no Halacha Shir, no Davening Ma'ariv, as we'll get to. And that's exactly what the Maaser Rav is talking about over here, which is in conjunction with the other recorded Hanhagos. Okay, now, next point. We said that the Gra held, you have to check everything, even all the closets. Now, what about if your house is already clean? A lot of times in our homes that we do such a great job cleaning for Pesach, we don't really have anything left to check once Erev Pesach comes around. So there's a comment of the Mordechai in Siman Tav Kuf Lamed Hey, and he writes that if you clean your house in advance of Pesach and you're careful not to bring any other chametz into the house, you still have a chiyuv to do bedikas chametz because it's a special takanas derabanan. And not only that, but you should. Besides making sure there's no actual chametz in the house, make sure that everything is, and you should also set up the house in a way where it's shaykh to do the bedika. Like right now, I'm in, you can be in a room where there's sfarim strewn everywhere, and you can't really find anything. The whole place is a mess. So you have to make sure that the house is in decent order, in order that you can actually do a proper bedika. So that's part of the obligation as well. Making sure that the house is clean and checkable so that you can properly find any chametz that you may have missed. This is quoted la'alach in the Shulchan Aruch, Taf Lamed Gimel, only one Taf, sorry, Taf Lamed Gimel Yud Aleph, it's 433, not 833. And the Gra in the Bira Gra, in Sivkot Chaf over there, he quotes the Yerushalmi that we just mentioned before, in Psachim Aleph, that if you check your house by candlelight on the 13th, right, the Mordechai is talking about if you just at some point earlier you made sure there was no chametz. What if you check your house on the 13th, the night of the 13th, not the night of the 14th, lav dafka the 13th, the 12th, the 11th, sometime around Pesach, and you use the candle, and it's a major arichas there in the Yerushalmi, and the Gra concludes that the Pesach of the Yerushalmi is that if you checked on a previous night using a candle, you are yotze bedikas chametz even lechatchila. You don't have to wait for the night of the 14th. But if you check during the day and you didn't use a candle, or even during the day with a candle, then that's only considered a kiyum bidieved, and you have to check again on the leil yedalid with a candle. However, it's clear from the Bira Gra, and this is the way the Mishnah Brura understands it as well. The Mishnah Brura is by us in Taf Lamed Aleph. Sifkatan Aleph. It's in Taf Lamed Gimel, Sifkatan Aleph. Mishnah Brura says that based on this Bira Gra, if you check during the day without a candle, or even with a candle, but we say the candle doesn't really count, then when you check at night on the 14th, you should not make a bracha. That's different from checking a clean house. The Gra is not directly arguing on the Shita of the Mordechai. He's bringing in an additional point where you did a formal Bedikas Chametz. You didn't just do a house cleaning. You did a formal Bedikas Chametz. After that, if you check again, that's only checking so it'll be Lechachila with the candle at night, and therefore you wouldn't make a bracha under those circumstances. And Lechora, that's what the line in the Maaser Rav means, that even if you checked it, you have to check it again with a candle. Again, just to reiterate the Lashon of the Maaser Rav over here, he says that the afal pishe bodak bayom tsarich livdok la'or haner. Even though you checked it by day, you have to check it by candlelight. Meaning, even though you already checked it with a candle, without a candle, the candle doesn't help during the day. You have to check it again at night using a candle. And that's the only way to be yotze bedikas chametz lichat chila. And therefore, if you checked it during the day, you were already yotze bedieved, but lichat chila, you check it again without a bracha. But if you checked it at night with a candle, then you were even yotze lichat chila, and you don't have to check it again bichlal. That is another point that the Maaser Rav brings out based on the sources that we mentioned in the Bir Agra from the Yerushalmi. Now, another point that comes up in this Maaser Rav. Do you have to check your Sfarim? Okay, so in order to understand this, you just have to understand what are you actually trying to accomplish with Bedikas Chametz. So Rashi in the Mishnah says that the goal of Bedikas Chametz is that you don't violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematzah. You don't violate the Isser of owning chametz. Now, how much chametz do you have to own in order to violate by Rabbi Yematzah? You have to own a kazayas. However, we don't know how much equals a kazayas in terms of, let's say I have 1,000 crumbs of chametz in my rishus in total. I have a big house and I have 1,000 crumbs spread out over the course of the house. And if you put all 1,000 of those crumbs together, they equal one kazayas. Did I violate by Rabbi Yematzah or not? So everybody agrees that you have to own a full kazayas, and it's a machlokas whether or not it's a one total of kazayas on my property, meaning I could have a half a kazayas in the front of the house, half a kazayas in the back of the house, and that is mitzdarif. That's a minority opinion. The majority opinion is it has to be a kazayas v'toch kedei achilas pras, which means that in a small area of food that I could have consumed, if it's a tarovis chametz or there is a quarter of a kazayas, you know what, I used the term incorrectly, I take it back, that was a din of tarovis chametz, not relevant to what we're saying over here. It just has to be a kazayas that could be consumed together within a reasonable amount of time. Not that if I searched around the house, I could put together a kazayas with everything. Now that doesn't mention crumbs at all. That's talking about legitimate pieces of bread. Now, what about actual crumbs that are not really food that a person would look to eat? So there, the Gemara has a comment of habodik tzerech sheyivato, that when you do bedikas chametz, you also have to follow it up with bittel chametz. And the Gemara says, what's the reason for that? Maybe it's because you might miss some crumbs. The Gemara says, no, because crumbs are not chashuv. The Gemara says, yeah, but maybe they're chashuv because you wouldn't let somebody break into your house and steal your crumbs, just like you wouldn't let somebody break into your house and steal anything. So maybe the fact that you're guarding your house, they're called mintar le'agav beise, that you're guarding your house, so memela, the crumbs that are contained inside the house are considered chashuv and yours. So we say, no, we bring raya's that that's not the case, that even mintar le'agav beise is not considered that you own it. And therefore, basically what we say is the crumbs are not the reason for bittel. But the question is, are the crumbs the reason for bedika? Meaning, you did bedika's chametz, then you missed some crumbs. So you don't need to do bittel on those crumbs. Those crumbs, once you did a bedika for them, are nizbatel me'aleya. They are completely batel on their own. You don't have to do anything special to be mevatel those crumbs. That's the basic way to look at it. Rabbeinu David, in his commentary on that Gemara, so the Ramaskal Ilema, so he explains that you could argue that owning less than one kazayas of chametz is an isser of chatzishir. But generally speaking, we don't consider that to be a problem of chatzishir, and therefore it's not really our concern. We're not so worried about a chatzishir of bayir or bayimatzeh. There's a whole discussion whether or not the concept even exists by isurim that are not involving achila. Okay, so for our purposes, we're not really concerned with this din of chatzishir. Okay, so what is the issue of crumbs if we're not so concerned with owning the crumbs? We're only concerned. So everybody would have to agree that even if you're not concerned with the isser of owning the crumbs, maybe there is an isser to eat crumbs, meaning do crumbs constitute chametz? So this would be an example of something where we go too far in the opposite direction. Normally we're saying that, oh, you have to look for chametz because you have to find the crumbs. So we're saying, no, you don't really have to search for the crumbs. There's no bedika for crumbs, bedafka. So if you say that, so maybe we'll say that crumbs aren't chametz, but that's not true. Crumbs are chametz, that if you eat them, you violated an Isser of Achilas Chametz. Now, obviously, you don't violate the Isser Kares unless you eat a Kazayas, but if you eat less than a Kazayas, you violate an Isser of eating Chametz, which is a Chatzi Shir. And not only that, but Chametz on Pesach is not Batel, and therefore, if a crumb falls into your chicken soup on Pesach, and you don't even see it anymore, it's not Batel. Generally speaking, we assume that's Midrabanan. So it's not, but it's not Batel. And we consider that whole soup to be chametz now. So you have to avoid getting crumbs anywhere near the food that you're going to be consuming on Pesach, even if these crumbs are not subject to the Isser Bayura Bayimatz. So with this in mind, the question is, do you have to check your svarim? So there is a famous chumra of the Chazon Ish. It's in his commentary on Pesachim, Hilchos Pesach, Simchut Tes Zayin Seif, or Sifkat, I don't know how you want to learn it, Sifkat Yud Ches, right? He writes that although you don't own crumbs, but you still have a chiyuv to avoid them on Pesach and try to separate yourself from them as much as possible. And he gives an example that the Gemara in Davav says that if you have chametz that belongs to a non-Jew on your property, you still have to put up a machitza and keep it separate from everything else. You can't have it sitting smack in the middle of the house. Thus, you see that the Rabbanan were always trying to separate the individual from any kind of chametz, even chametz that you don't violate by Rabbi Matzeh. And therefore, it doesn't matter how much we're talking about. It doesn't have to be a kezias to require this separation. And thus, it was famous that the Chazon Ish held that you have to check all of your svarim that may have crumbs in them before Pesach, even though you're just looking for the most minuscule amounts. And that's a problem. And you have to go through all of your svarim, or alternatively, you have to pack up your svarim and put them on the side away from you for Pesach. There was a ma'isa that they said that the Chazon Ish would only keep a Shas and a Rambam and maybe one or two other svarim. I think they have a ma'isa that they told the Chibina Rav one year in Eretz Yisrael that the Chazon Ish had only a Rambam and the Chuvas Dovah of Meisharim. That's Chibina Rav's Chuvas in front of him on Pesach. So the Chibina Rav responded. He says, yeah, so you're telling me that to be impressed. Oh, the Chazon Ish is learning my Chuvas on Pesach. But we know the Chazon Ish is makpid to keep all the svarim that might have any crumbs away from him. So it's just a riot that he doesn't learn it the rest of the year. So it's not actually the compliment that you think it is. Okay, still a compliment. But nevertheless, the Chazon Ish would keep very few svarim in front of him on Pesach because he wanted them all sectioned off because he didn't feel that he could properly check all of them before Pesach. He had better things to do, most likely, in terms of learning and serving Klal Yisrael. That is the opinion of the Chazon Ish. It's not the mainstream opinion. The opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein is generally more mainstream. It's Aron Chaim Aleph Kuf Mem Hey. Rav Moshe writes that since there is no real ownership of crumbs, so and there's not really such a chashash to do bittel for them, nevertheless, you want to make sure that the crumbs don't come in any contact with anything you might be eating on Pesach, as we mentioned before. If it falls into the chicken soup, you're out of luck. You just violated the Isser of eating chametz on Pesach, even though it was only a crumb. So thus, if you have a Haggadah or a Bencher that's going to go to the table, you have to make sure that they are crumb-free before Pesach starts. Now, how does the Maaser Rav fit into this machlokas? So you have this lashon of the Maaser Rav where it says va'afilu b'svarim shemishtamish b'hem b'shas se'uda. I'm not really sure what that means. Now the grammar in the Maaser Rav is not meduyak. Whoever wrote it was not concerned so much back and forth with it. A lot of independent clauses and run-on sentences and short sentence fragments and whatever. And the tenses are not necessarily meduyak. So it's really hard to try to figure out what exactly he's talking about over here. He says, even the svarim that one uses at the time of a meal. Is he talking about svarim that you're going to bring to the table on Pesach or svarim that you brought to the table over the course of the year? So obviously it has to be that you at least brought it to the table over the course of the year, so you might have had some chametz that got trapped inside the pages of the book. Because otherwise it's what we would call, it's like a makom she'in machnisim bo chametz. And unless you want to say that it's linked to the previous statement that you would have to check every single closet, even a makam she'ein machnisim bo chametz, it's very hard to suggest the Gro would be going against the Gemara like that. It's the opening Mishnah in the Masechta. So it's very hard to suggest that you check a makam she'ein machnisim bo chametz. In fact, I saw in the nice Maaser Rav by Rav Zulashinsky, he writes that he doesn't know what that line is talking about, even in every Teva. But nevertheless, over here, the Svarim that you're using, I imagine he's holding like Rav Moshe, that the Svarim that you're using at the table is a reference to the fact that if you are going to bring Svarim to the table on Pesach, and it's Shaykh that those Svarim have some Chametz in them from during the year, you obviously have to check them. But you don't stop have to check all of the Svarim that you used at the table over the course of the year. That would be more in sync with the Chazon Ish. Now, elsewhere, earlier in that same siman that I quoted from the Chazon Ish, I think it's an Osiyot Gimel, not an Osiyot Ches, Chazon Ish suggests that the Bir Hagra is mashma, that you don't have to check. It's also a very long Bir Hagra to understand. I'm not sure I understood it at all, but the Chazon Ish seems to imply that the Bir Hagra held, you don't have to check your Sfarim. So Pashtus is that the line in the Maaser Rav that's in question over here is saying that you don't have to check, the Sfarim unless you're going to be bringing them to the table, like Rav Moshe's Kula over here. Okay, one last point, the shtick that he used to pull with Davening Maariv. Okay, so as we mentioned in the beginning, the Ravid Shita is that you start before Tzitzak Kochavim. Now, earlier in the Maaser Rav, it notes that the Gro Shita is you can't daven Maariv before Tzitzak Kochavim because you have to have Smichas Gula Tefila during the Zman Kriya Shema, and he was even ma'adif davening biyachid rather than davening with a minyan that was going to daven before Tzitzak Kochavim. So clearly the Gro is not davening Maariv until Tzitzak Kochavim, and he's also starting Dikas Chametz before Tzitzak Kochavim, and it's taking a few hours. So if you put all of that together, the Gro is in big trouble when it comes to davening Maariv. So he had a shtick that he did, which was that he started checking for chametz before Tzitzak Kochavim. Then at Tzitzak Kochavim, he would take a break, and then he would go back to checking the rest of the house. Now the Maaser Rav says that he was not choshesh for something. He said he would take the break in the middle, and right, he says mafsik be'emtza betfilas ma'ariv ve'eino choshesh. So he would take a break from Maariv and he wasn't Choshish. Now there are two possibilities as to what that line means that he wasn't Choshish. Lanias Daiti, the Pashup shot is that he wasn't Choshish for the Hefsik. Meaning, there is an Inyan, if you look in the Tur says that there's a minority opinion in Rishonim that says that if you are Mafsik in any way with something that is not Nogea to the, Bedika, then you have to make another bracha at that point. Sorry, that's the Tur and Simon Tuf Lamed base. Says you're not allowed to be mafsik at all. And he quotes his father, the Rush, who says, nah, that's not the halacha. You're just not supposed to be mafsik. It's also to be mafsik to talk about stam start talking about other things, but if you are mafsik, you don't make another bracha. And that seems to be the shita of the Gra as well. I will get back to that in a second. But the Shulchan Aruch in Tuf Lamed base Sif Aleph, he writes something interesting. I'll try to get to the Lashon of that Shulchan Aruch. Tuf Lamed Beis. Kodem sheyaskil livdok yivarech asher kiddushan mitzvos v'tzivanu al bir chametz. Right? So he's to make the bracha. V'yizar shelo yedaber bein ha-bracha l'tchilas ha-bedika. You can't speak out between the bracha and the beginning of the bedika. That would be significant. V'tov shelo yedaber b'dvar ha-macher man sheyigmar kol ha-bedika. You shouldn't really talk about, it's a good thing not to talk about other things. So you can pay attention to the bedika properly and you'll actually do it everywhere that you're supposed to do it. That's not necessarily talking about a hefsek over there. That seems to just be talking about, so you'll do a better job. And the Magen Avraham over here says, let's say you did talk out, so then you don't have to make another bracha. I have it in front of me right now, but I think the Taz actually has a suggestion that if you talked out, you would have to make it like the minority opinion, but we don't pass him that way. And the Bir Hagra quotes the Gemara and Brachas on Nunal from the Beis and Tosus and Brachas Divar Maskel Ein, saying that whenever there's a mitzvah that continues on for a little while, you're not allowed to talk out mitam hefsik, not just mitam you'll forget to do the mitzvah. It brings a raya from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that if you heard 9 tekiyos over the course of the whole day of Rosh Hashanah, obviously it's assumed there's some kind of a hefsik in the middle. You weren't standing there quietly for the whole Rosh Hashanah. You still yotzei the mitzvah. But certainly, l'chadchila, you're not supposed to speak out. That's the shita of Tosfos, and that's what we've basically been talking about from the tour. So pashtus is that the Maaser Rav is saying that you're allowed to stop and daven Maariv in the middle because now is the Zman for Maariv. The Gro was always doing things exactly at the right Zman, and now is the Zman for Maariv. So you have to stop what you're doing in terms of Dikas Chametz and daven Maariv at this moment. And we're not choshesh that that's considered a hefsik because that's not Shalol Litzorach. That's the Tzorach right now, and you're going to go back to the Bedika afterwards. That's probably what it means that he's not choshesh. Another possibility in what it means that he was not choshesh is that the Bach, and the Bach is quoted in Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Hay in Tuf Lamed Aleph, the Bach says you should always daven Maariv before you do Bedikas Chametz so you don't forget. Magen Avraham is not such a big fan of that. Magen Avraham writes that if you're going to be davening with a minyan in shul, you should daven before Bedikas Chametz since that's your normal Seder Ayom and you're not going to forget. But if you're the type of person who davens at home, then maybe you're going to forget that you don't have to forget that you're going to miss Maariv because you always daven at home, and therefore you should be okay. You should do the Bedikas Chametz first and then daven Maariv. Right? There's a Chok Yaakov that says you should always daven Maariv first, more like the Bach. And the Gra doesn't accept this opinion. The Gra says that, no, you got to do each thing at the proper time. You got to do Bedikas Chametz at the proper time, and then you got to do Maariv at the proper time. So you would start Bedikas Chametz beforehand, take a break in the middle, and we're not choshesh that you're going to forget either one. You know, obviously you're not going to forget Bedikas Chametz because you started early, and we're not choshesh that you're going to get so engrossed in the Bedika that you're going to forget to daven Maariv altogether, rather because you're going to end up stopping as soon as it's Tzeis HaKochavim, and you daven Maariv at that moment, and then you go back to davening, and then you go back to your Bedika when you finish.